No, it's been a lovely project.
It's wonderful.
I mean, we made
well,
all the film.
I'm going to start yes. you now, Sarah, because
okay.
I have to edit it anyway.
Oh, love.
Like I'll
ones.
Tell you, I'm going straight in. Straight in.
Just turn the phone off then, Jean.
Straight in for the kill, Mr. Bob and Roberta. So I'm here with Bob and Roberta Smith in the beating heart of the Folkestone Triennial.
Yes, in the open space.
In the open space. Now, tell me about the space where we're sitting. It's full of activity, I must say. It's making me want to create and do things, which I may do later. But tell me, what is it? I'm sitting on an extremely comfortable sofa.
Yes.
And I'm...
No expense has been spared.
No, and I'm looking around and I can see lots of lovely things to create with. So tell me about the concept of this space.
Well, we're actually sitting in an art shop, which has been provided by Cowling and Wilcox. But it's part of this open space. The idea is that that Folkestone is an art school. So I've declared Folkestone an art school. But we're in... So this space is really an art school, but actually we're calling it the open space because the town is the art school, not this space. And we've invited 16 artists to teach. They've all come up with lesson plans, and they're people from the town, and they're going to teach 12 17 to 23 year olds, and I'm going to be the 13th student, so I'm going to come down every weekend and on Tuesday nights to be taught by the town. And we're going to do everything from stone carving to making our own charcoal. We're going to be making sculpture out of found material. We're going to be performing on the beach. We're going to be doing all sorts of different things around the town devised by artists from the town. And the effort really is to say, in a place like this, which has been branded in a way by the Folkestone Triennial as a kind of arty place, if you like, does that filter through and have a legacy between things and between events when there is a bit of media attention? And I think it does, but we're going to test that out, really. It's really a test of all of these kinds of projects, like the Derry City of Culture, the whole City of Culture. It's a test to see if there's any depth to the kind of engagement and whether it is genuinely inspirational.
Well, I think you have raised some really pertinent points. First of all, very serious point about regeneration of places through art, which has been a policy now for some time. But secondly, the whole idea of kind of declaring Folkestone is itself an art school. You learn from your environment. And walking around Folkestone, there are many reminders of the other two triennales that have been here, 2008 and 2012. Sorry, I'm going to repeat that because clearly I'm not good at maths. I have other gifts. When was it? 2008, 9, 10, 11?
I don't know,
17
now.
No, I don't know. No, but anyway, I'm going to redo that all together.
It must have been 2014.
No, never mind. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
2011, 2014.
I can't work it out. I'm going to just rewind that and start again saying you've raised an interesting point about the town itself being an art school, but also legacy. And around the town itself, you can see reminders of works that have been permanently acquired. But also what you're talking about, striking of the very heart of it, 3 years in between is quite a long time. So what does happen in between? Does anything change? What is it that you're doing specifically? Now we start our journey, get off the train, and there we've got a slogan saying
Folkestone is an art school
on the actual wall of the station, and then coming out, which I love the juxtaposition of the two pieces, you've got a big poster, an advert declaring it. Can we just talk then, take me on that journey of the visitor first of all and then the resident, because I'm interested in the two different dynamics there.
Well, one of the funny things about it is the relationship between transport and this project, because we've got that sign in the station, and then in films that I've made, which also accompany the show, which anybody can download and look at on the website, there's a sort of theme of transport in the work. And I think that's about... I think that is about a kind of idea, poetic idea about transformation, really. So you might come down on the train and go on a journey into Folkestone, might come down here, make drawings which will be included in the triennial. So you can be a part of the triennial, or you can go on a journey if you're in the town and art will be your train.
Now, also... On a serious note,
boats as well. You know, boat. I've actually, it's an odd thing, but I've thought about these metaphors of transport in my art quite a lot. You know, boats being places. You know, speculative spaces of excitement, and aeroplanes and trains. They're places where you think something's going to change, and I think art is like that as well. Art is a sort of mode of transportation in a way.
Well, you also, you've just mentioned your films, but there's also your wonderful band, the Apathy Band, which accompanies, and your wonderful LP, which accompanies some of the films, is the background in some of the films with your partner, Jessica Vorsanger, singing on it, or a kind of speaking in a wonderful voice, actually, on it. But also... What you're really interested in is bringing things together, but also having a fun element, but actually saying underneath this, what is happening? What is happening to art? So can we talk a little bit about that in terms of these different activities, the way you're kind of taking Folkestone as your experimental as well art school? But you're saying it has a specific place. It's in a house. It's on a roof. It's it's in your surroundings. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think one of the things to think about is how art's important in terms of, you know, sort of selfhood or finding yourself or finding your own voice. And one of the things that I worry about, and lots of other people worry about, is that if you don't teach those skills in schools, then kids, you know, they won't be able to really operate in democracy properly, because it's about operating in a democracy or being a citizen is about knowing what your voice sounds like. And art is all about that. You know, artists are quite, people think about artists as quite, you know, self-righteous people sometimes, or very forthright people. But that's because we're people who know what we think and know what we want to do and have the means of expression to our hands. And everybody should have that, really. Doesn't mean that you have to be David Shrigley or Richard Wentworth or Anthony Gormley or something, or Lubaina Himid, but it does mean that if you have art in schools at a young age, at primary school, and that's why part of this project and a lot of my projects over the years have been about trying to say, look, art education and art isn't something that's an add-on to a gallery program. It is fundamental to the activity. You know, lots of cliches like Picasso trying to paint like a child again, and all those kinds of ideas, they're fundamental to democracy, they're fundamental to art, fundamental to expression.
But I think we're also sitting here in very different times from when you went to art school, and actually from when even this triennial itself was conceived. You know, if we think about fees, if we think about the cutbacks in schools, and of course your fantastic piece, Letter to Michael Gove, the kind of protest element of what you're trying to make people think. If you look round the walls, your slogans and the way you use text to kind of make people think about not just letters, how letters are formed, but how letters formed words and words form protest or form thoughts.
Yeah, that's about mark making, you know, making your mark graphically. It's to do with ideas about graphics, actually, fundamentally, where you might devise with the material to make a mark. And in art, people would think about that, about it being quite expressive. But in graphics, it's about language, that same relationship. And so it's very much about, you know, I think drawing is about selfhood, because it's about mark making, and making your mark is obviously perhaps an easy metaphor for the idea of being able to do something. But it is, you know, that's important stuff. I'm very angry about what's happened to art education. You know, the lack of the political imagination to think that you know, creativity is fundamental to democracy, but also to the economy. But having said that, I also think that in problematic times, there's also, you know, opportunities arise. And I think there is an opportunity now to rethink art education. This project is happening alongside a lot of other projects, like Open School East, which has moved to Margate, the School of the Damned, where artists are teaching themselves. All of these things, like Turps Banana, you know, all of these things, some of them are more commercially minded, but they're all trying to reimagine art education. And actually, out of that, there's some interesting things happening and things are evolving. So although it's a dark, problematic time, it's also a time where there are things to celebrate as well, and things are changing.
Now, talking about things changing, one thing I loved about your series of films was the way you transform things. And one of the first films shows you with some ends of a piano, and
yes,
you
in
then
the corner over there.
Take them and you make them into sculptural paintings. But there's a little twist, because there always is in your work. As you go to get the paint, you say, oh, these are paintings that I painted with different colours than what's the paint in the tin. And then you go in and, you know, it's blue on the outside and brown inside. And I just love those little funny little insider things that you just play with in
well,
your work.
Well, I think that's to do with being a hugely disorganised person, actually. There's no, all those things in those films are often tried, and they're things that slightly make me go a bit big in around the ears. Yeah, I made a series of paintings ages ago, which were paintings of tins, painting them the different colours of the paint, which is you know, a joke, really. But I exhibited them, and nobody would know what the colours of the paint really was inside those tins. And then when I came to use the paint, because I'd run out of paint, I had no idea what paint I was using. But that's also one of the themes in the films, the more serious things, that thing of chance encounters and serendipity and coming across something.
And then those little objects, your first objects you made, little animals. Oh, and you said, a cow, I painted it brown. I love that, because getting back to where we're sitting, it's that idea, that element of chance. You're a child, you do a cow, and normally the teacher will say, so a cow is this colour, and this is, you know, what about if it was pink or green? I mean, it's a lovely, idea.
I had two. I mean, I come from an arty family, and both my parents are artists. But one of my key experiences of paint and painting was my mother, at some stage in about 1967, she bought a can of bright orange paint. And orange paint hadn't been seen before that 60s, really. And she painted everything in our house that was vaguely metal, bright orange. So she painted all the cake tins orange, my bicycle. I had a lovely bicycle with blood and custard colours on it. She painted that orange. She painted all our, we had some lovely Windsor chairs that she painted bright orange, and then also cut the legs down on them so they were more comfortable. And that was a more, in a way, that was a more transformative idea about painting than my dad upstairs making more conventional sort of paintings that he was hoping to show in the Royal Academy or something like that. So it's comic and satirical, but it's not without a serious point. And that idea of painting something and changing its authenticity is a great thing. You know, anybody who's ever painted an object, you know, you're sort of, you know, devaluing it, but also turning it to something else, aren't you? Completely.
Now, we began talking roughly at the beginning about legacy, and of course there's been much talk and about exodus from cities, particularly London, to seaside towns, and Margate and Folkestone being two Hastings as well, being places
where... Well, my
where,
studio's in Ramsgate, yeah.
A lot of artists. Mm. So in a way, you know, the artists are moving out. They're moving to these seaside towns. Mm. Is that making a difference? What difference can art make to...
I think it's one of these odd things. You know, when I lived in America and I couldn't find a studio in Manhattan because it was too expensive, so I found a studio in Brooklyn. Then I lost my studio in Brooklyn. I came, it was too expensive. Then I moved to Hackney. I lost my studio in Hackney because it was too expensive. Then I moved to Leytonstone. I can't find a studio in Leytonstone, so then I moved to Ramsgate. I think it's part of the journey of art, actually, that aspect of it. I'm not embracing regeneration or gentrification, but it is one of the factors. It's inescapable. And artists also thrive in liminal spaces, and actually, not to say that all these seaside towns are, you know, edge lands on the margins of everything, because they're not. They're cultures and communities very distinct of their own, and a lot of artists moving in can, you know, create as many problems as it creates benefits. But there are enormous benefits for both communities, actually. And we're not separate communities, actually. We're all people doing things, trading with one another. And my studio in Ramsgate, I absolutely love Ramsgate and being by the sea, and looking out to sea is just the most amazing thing. It's completely inspirational, but it is also a sort of blank space, like a blank sheet of paper, and it confronts you with emptiness. And that is also a kind of inspirational thing. So an artist has always loved the sea. And so I think on some poetic level also, it's an important thing and an interesting thing. It's not just about second home ownership.
And now I feel we should be played out by the absolute some kind of marvellous sound, because whenever I think of being with you, I always think of there's some kind of sound going on in the background, because it just doesn't feel, you know, right without some kind of trumpet or a guitar or something to play us out. We do need George. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Bob and Roberta.